Welcome to the Delling Pod with me, James Dellingpole. And I know I always say I'm excited about this week's special guest, but I really am because he's going to answer a lot of the questions that I'm curious about, and a lot of you have been saying to me, please, can you get a financial expert on to help us weather the coming storms? So, Francis Hunt, welcome. Welcome to the Delling Pod. You go under the name Market Sniper, Reset Sniper, and Crypto Sniper, and I'm going to ask you about all those things. But first of all, I want to talk about you. I can't help noticing you've got a South African accent. But tell me a bit about your background and how you became the Market Sniper.
Yes, indeed. Happy to. Just by the way, on those three overlapping circles, it's the Market Sniper on Twitter, it's the Reset Sniper, the Crypto Sniper on both YouTube and Twitter, so that people do find us if they're looking. And our website is themarketsniper.com. So my history is, I'm born to an English father who left the UK for health reasons, actually. So he was the son of a preacher man, so I suppose that makes me a grandson of a preacher man. Pakefield, which is the most easternmost town in the Bulge, which is kind of, I think, I don't know if it's Norfolk or Suffolk, someone will know. He was given Vegas or South Africa, and he chose South Africa. He needed a warm, dry place. He was married to a French lady who was my mum, of course, and she'd met them during the war. So she went au pair to get out of France. It was being bombed, and was helping out at my then dad's elder sister, who was married and had kids, and she was being a maid. So that was that romantic link up. She met my father. They had my two older brothers in the UK, and then they moved out to South Africa. One of my brothers is now back, obviously, in the UK. The other's in Australia. So that's kind of the family tree as far as people care. But I was born out there, and I was schooled out there. So I was just saying to you off the air, you know, actually it's accents that seem to determine nationality, because to Englishmen, I will always be South African. I had the funny scenario. I was talking to sort of at best a second generation Pakistani in Selfridges, and he was saying, oh, okay, so where are you from? And the temptation to say, mate, my lineage goes 1066 and beyond. You're probably on second generation. I belong here. But that would be mean. Maybe it would have been worse than mean. But yeah, so accents definitely box you out in terms of where you live.
I grew up reading Wilbur Smith books, and then I've you know, When the Lion Feeds and The Sound of Thunder. And then I've traveled a lot in Africa, and I've been to South Africa. I went diving with great white sharks in Hunts Bay and things like that. So I know the place a bit. And it strikes me that maybe the period when you were growing up there must have been glorious. I think you've seen the best of it now. But was it a delightful childhood?
Yes, it was a fabulous childhood. It was outdoors. Everything was outdoors. Mm-hmm. It was sunshine. And, you know, it was scampering up trees. It was riding bicycles and running everywhere. It was very glorious. It was, I think it's a physically fit, great child growing up experience. Dams, rivers, seas, mountains, all of it's thrown in. It's a number of worlds in one. And it was cheap travel, and at one point the rand was actually the same or half the value, I think, or even the same value of double a dollar and almost the same as a pound. Wow. So, you know, and we were pulling out 1,000 tons of gold, and the apartheid policies was always a landmine that was badly managed and came back to bite many. It saw me have 2 years of military service that's whenever I'm reminded of my white male privilege, I kind of say, well, if I weren't white and male, I would have got those 2 years back. But anyway, I always say whatever experiences you end up getting, they always end up forming you, and it's what you make of them. And you never get challenged without gift and opportunity with it as well. So, yeah, I'm very happy with how it panned out.
I envy you 2 years in the military. I mean, I imagine it's skills that could come in quite handy after the Great Reset.
I think so. Yes, I certainly think so. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's the best 2 years of your life you'd never have again. because, you know, I was an Englishman in an Afrikaner institution that was very strong, and the Boer War still memories ran deep. So, you know, I was, you were always wrong. I was saying I'm always wrong. You know, when I was in the army, having English in an Afrikaans institution was wrong. Then when I did my MBA and was looking for employment, they were all hiring only blacks. So my skin was wrong. You know, you come to the UK, it battled a bit because of the cultural adjustments, the accent was wrong. But actually, it's never like that, really. It's what you make of it. But I always get a little bit peeved when people are talking about gender and ethnicity privileges, because you don't know what other people go through when standing in their own shoes. And I'm very skeptical about all these various agendas that seem to be perpetuated upon us.
Oh, it's all bollocks. I think we're agreed on that. It's absolute bollocks, and it's part of the larger plan to destroy Western civilization. I think that's a given. But I don't want to waste you on that particular issue, because actually that's another facet of it. It's like a theatre in a much bigger in a world war. But so tell me, you got into finance. Did you ever have a proper job? Did you work in a bank and stuff like that, or?
I was perpetually fired from jobs. So I had a trouble. I was a late starter, very late starter. I didn't know particularly what I wanted to do. I love markets and speculating, but at the time it wasn't clear that was a job. I listened to my. How did the financial side start for me? I'd sort of listened to my mum and dad looking at the newspaper on mutual stocks, and that was during the 80s boom. And my mum's mum had passed away, and she'd put some money into these funds, and every day, you know, it kind of looked like it was ticking up. And my dad was driving all the way to Pretoria from Johannesburg, a 45-kilometer round trip, and they were making almost as much money on this thing that just went up while you worked. And I thought, well, that sounds... Working smart sounds a lot better than working hard. So I had that simplistic notion forgetting that, or not even being aware that skill sets always have to be developed. There is no easy way to building, securing, and looking after and maintaining wealth, because it's also not what you make, it's what you keep. That's very, very important. There's many analogies of three generations from shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves as well, in terms of how you bring up your kids. So the whole, I come to realize that history is all about power and money in everything we're doing. Even if you're talking, and I was looking at some of your materials around the COVID-19 game, it's all about power and money. Everything comes down to the same two things. The faster you learn and understand it, the better you are. The better you understand the script of where they're taking you, the more you know the next step and you position accordingly. And that requires a bit of looking backwards in terms of understanding your history, so that you understand where you are and what comes next. And I do that both historically in terms of what I call the reset sniper, which is very much the core topics of what you do, the social revolution that they're going to bring down on us, the financial collapse.
Yeah.
And then the other two circles, the market sniper, is just the charting version of the exact same thing. Technical analysis is looking backwards at charts, particularly the big time frame ones. I'm not interested in, you know, minute to minute, to understand how things went before, to better understand how they may go in the future. And also just have a probability. There are no certainties, but you can improve your probabilities in terms of positioning. So the market sniper, the second circle to the reset sniper, deals with looking at the traditional markets. We became very well known for a number of big calls, the collapse of the Euro-Swiss franc before the Greek crisis was known, which was the Euro capitulation relative to the Swiss National Bank, where all the Germans, French and Italians were putting their money when the first Greek crisis was emerging. We became further famous when we called oil to hit $1 to single digits. And that was when it was trading $67 and hadn't traded below $10 in the last 2.5 decades. So it was a huge call technically. That's all done out of the market sniper keyhole that we look through. And that is all utilizing technical analysis methods that I have a bespoke method for, called the Hunt Volatility Funnel method. And we keep a community for that. The third circle, which was one you also touched on just before we began chatting, is the role that cryptography and cryptos will play on this. So we have these three apertures that we look through, and they overlap, because actually everyone exists because of the other one. and they all overlap. And that sweet spot in the middle of those three circles, which is essentially our brand logo, is where we position ourselves. Understanding the great game for the capitulation that's being brought by the secret societies from all the people you can delve into as far as you like. Looking at how it's worked in cash flows, because the chart is the truth, how the money is chained and the trading of the price. And then how the new technology, the forward that they're going to bring on us, and why they're bringing on it, why cash will be killed, and how people shouldn't evangelize. I'm in cryptos. I'm not married to cryptos. I'm in cryptos because I want to increase wealth. I don't have delusions or illusions that they will ever let you have your own money. They will never, let me say it again clearly, they will never let you have or originate your own money, because that is the source of all power. It's the most famous Rothschild statement. As long as I control the releasing of money, I care not to make it law. So people that evangelize about Bitcoin, this is belief systems. People always want to marry a new girlfriend. You know, she's better than the one before, when often the problem is them. You can have different color hairs, different characters, but the same problems will be reflected to you because of who you are. So people, those are some of the, that's a sort of introductory outlay. There might be a bit that you want to unpack in that.
Yes. Well, let's cut to the chase. What we all know, I think now, everyone who listens to this podcast anyway. Oh, good. Can you turn off your horrible... I share an office with the wife, and I she's got the most terrible, annoying thing coming through her headphones. We all know there's a heap of trouble coming. How bad is it going to get? And well, actually, no. First of all, why are we heading in this direction? What's the cause of it? Is it leaving the gold standard? Is it the kind of the plan of the elites, which has been going back to at least Cecil Rhodes? What?
Yeah. So let's start on that. That's a very deep and detailed, requires normally a detailed answer. So I'll just touch on a few of the concepts. There's a multitude of things in that. It is largely at the top tier, in my opinion, orchestrated. So the whole case is orchestrated. It's all works off problem, reaction, solution. So you create a problem, you get the known and expected reaction. So if I burn your hand on the stove, I get ow, I know that. And then I sell you the solution of the ice bucket to put it back in. So if I wanted all along to put your hand in an ice bucket, I create the problem and reaction, and then I get that eventual solution. So a man with a plan always beats a genius without one. And these guys have nothing else but plans. Certainly they have, and they are multi-generational. In of nature. My overall expectation is that a global totalitarian state of complete control, where you have a polarization of absolute ruling class and peasantry, is their goal. In a simplized state, there's a lot of layers in that. I think technology and robotics have reached a point that they no longer feel, I mean, the peasantry being us, we were labor. And in the components of moving things forwards, you had labor, you have an entrepreneur, and you have capital. Now, once you start to have things that can be automated, the need for the scale of labor is obviously greatly reduced. And then the nature and the degree to which they work this green agenda is quite clearly, there's overtones of eugenics in it. Many of the people behind it are eugenicists or related to eugenicists or were parts and fathers, Bill Gates' father, Rockefeller, all of these things are eugenicists. So it's with great concern that I think population numbers will be greatly reduced. Further to which we get military industrial complex forecasts actually making forecasts that actually see massive losses of population in the UK and in the West. And you were talking to me off screen, where do we go in some of the sense of the question is this, is I think the greatest burden of this is actually going to fall on the Commonwealth and the Western nations, actually, in its hardest. I don't think any place escapes. There's not an easy bolt hole to run to. But the Russians had their Bolshevik obliteration of great scale. And funny enough, the forecast on their population was not reduced. It actually was likely increased. So you might find me in Crimea one of these days, because at least it's sunny there as a South African. And I might rate my chances a little better to survive. My Russian doesn't go much beyond Privyet and Как дела, but I'm sure if necessity may see my vocabulary improve somewhat in due course. So that's where I think we're being taken. I'm afraid that's not a positive message. People aren't going to sign in to hear that. However, there will be real, like anything of great scale and of great destruction, there are real opportunities. We all know about the people that made fortunes in wars. They were usually the people that knew they were coming. I'm saying you're not the creator of that war, but may at least position that you benefit. And I'm of the view that we're seeing the final stages of currency destruction. And unlike any other previous economic case study, this is going to be holistic and broad. In other words, we're all lepers in a leper colony now, where previously, if we discussed Zimbabweification and the collapse of their currency, it was relative to other currencies that were relatively safe. So if you could have got resources out of Zimbabwe, you could have put money in dollars, you could have put assets that were movable out of the country. This situation, this will be the first globalized financial reset, cross-currency, cross-debt, which is a massive driver. I've just finished a debt discussion about how interest rates are going to be getting away from the central bankers in what is an inflation element now showing. So there's quite a lot in there already, and I can delve in greater detail wherever you choose.
Yes. No, I would, because you've got so much to say, and started this podcast, I did watch your session on the markets, on the bond markets, and the decoupling. Was it what's the phrase you use, where the long term bond market is paying out better than the short term?
Well, it's rolling over. The debt market is rolling over and collapsing in value.
What? I'm sure there are some people out there who haven't yet got crypto, haven't yet really sort of positioned their portfolios for Armageddon. Can I ask on their behalf, is it too late? Is there still time to get their shit together before it all goes tits up?
Yes, indeed. And let me just say first up, because I'm not a man of good news, so let's get good news out there. There's plenty of time.
Oh, good.
And it's not too late.
That is good. That is
so,
good.
So the problem, yeah, it's very important to hear that. And I'm glad you asked that question. And let me also say, the man who is optimistic and takes action always does better than the pessimistic man who doesn't. Even if the pessimistic man is more accurate in his assessment,
yeah,
it's better to be optimistic, action-orientated, and slightly wrong than a brilliant guesser and passive and negative. And a lot of my overall assessment of where we've been taken is broadly for the everyday man, very negative. But let me utterly say, I'm a believer, a high energy take action guy, and you will benefit. And there is plenty more time. Basically, let me give you an analogy just to put that into perspective.
Yeah.
The total amount of debt surpasses all the market cap of every stock market in its entirety. So if you took the Shanghai, the London Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, the Dow, all the official, of all of them, the total debt markets in existence is a massive multiple over that. And the FX markets, which is the financial currency markets, exceeds the debt markets. Now that Jupiter as a planet needs to squeeze into that beach ball that is crypto in the corner of your room there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're telling me you're late, I'm saying we've only just begun, because Bitcoin at itself now, I can confirm the market cap, but it's only just through a single trillion. I think it's about 1.025 trillion at the moment. And even if you take all the others, I think the total is around 1.7 trillion. I mean, Biden just gifted more than that in stimulus checks in one event this year.
Yeah.
So to the man who says it's too late to get engaged, you're looking for a reason to be passive and a victim. I'm here to tell you, you take action now, you can come out far better, and there's plenty of time, and there's more that will happen.
Okay. But is there going to, I mean, when you're talking about the sort of us becoming slaves once more, and it being global this time, so there being no escape. Is there going to be, is there any going to be any freedom for us, those of us who aren't kind of technocrat billionaires? I mean, is our money going to be any use, or are we going to be so constrained that, that we might as well be dead, frankly?
I think most of the surveillance, essentially we're moving into extreme oligarchical tech surveillance society.
Yeah.
So for those that are quite happy always to spew their metadata up, share all their thoughts on social media, see their phone, don't realize that it serves the purpose of essentially a prison tag as well, and that 5G will geolocate you even more tightly and more specifically, and never mind the unexplored, understood, not understood health repercussions of all of that. Set that aside for other people that are better at those topics. You know, to them, it won't feel like a slavery. The best slave is a slave who doesn't feel or realize that is a slavery. In terms of freedom of movement with complete freedom, where you yourself are not chipped, tagged in any way, and you could leave a device and disappear somewhere for a while, I think those degrees of freedom will become a rarity. I think the state considers it their right and absolute duty to know exactly who you are, where you are, and what you're thinking. And I think they also think they can manipulate that which you perceive and think by virtue of your ongoing interaction with any multitude of devices. The Internet of Things is going to be putting chips and extreme processing power in everything in your house, from your fridge, your kettle, and everything. So they'll know what average time you're awake and making your first cup of coffee. They're going to know you better than you know you. They're going to have AI learning that will be modeling what reactions get what they most want out of you in terms of action taken, without you even realizing it. So some may see it as an almost invisible, highly subtle slavery. To me, the very existence of that degree of monitoring, it's the monitoring. It's the fact that I'm on a leash, even if it's meant to be this invisible soft leash that no one sees, irritates me immensely. That yeah. Other people are treating me as the product and collecting my metadata as almost this dandruff DNA for them to hyperanalyze, clone, create without actually our tacit approval. That is an absolute invasion. And who is this class that gets to be on the receiving end of this? And what are they opting out of that we don't get an option to opt out of? Who determines this polarization in terms of this ruling class and not? So I have a lot of thoughts, a lot of unproven speculative thoughts. I mean, many people talk about the mining process on Bitcoin. It's a certain kind of chip, but are we really just giving a whole bunch of computers meaningless and complicated algorithms to solve? Or is that processing power being weaponized in some way in terms of providing AI resources to the technocracy? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe people say, no, it's not possible. It only does that kind of work. It's an ASIC chip. Who knows? But it would be pretty ingenious to have people funding and giving them tokens that go up in value, that you create a cycle and they actually crowdsource and create the brain that ends up managing them and the AI. And I wouldn't put it past the ruling classes, if that's what they are, to have many an interesting scheme where we are part and parcel contributing towards our own slavery. And my big message is, don't contribute to your own slavery, build wealth and see this through. So we are a reset sniper community with a specific purpose of coming out of this process as free as humanly possible and as wealthy as humanly possible, because no doubt resources will still help buy you some privileges that might have once been rights that others may not be able to afford. And it's going to be a great leveling, I fear. There's the middle class is to be hollowed out. This is communism globally. So this is the Bolshevik dream, and the way they create it is first they create thesis, antithesis, and then they get the synthesis that is the global. And we are at it. It was capitalism versus communism, and then they plagiarized and spoiled the purity of the capitalism, and now say capitalism is failing. We've got this Marxist ascendancy that is essentially came out of Bolshevism, led to the murder of at least 20 million Russians. It was largely Orthodox Christians that were wholesale slaughtered by the likes of Lenin, Trotsky, and a variety of people types. And I fear that we have a global version of that. But I think it's going to be harder on the societies that haven't yet had Mark I. And that's why we were discussing almost Russia or Crimea might be a safer place, because they don't have these huge losses of population being forecast by these military industrial complex forecasters that are actually forecasting wholesale losses of population in America and in Europe. And I'm saying, what makes a man say 200 million people will no longer exist in America? Where have they all gone? Question for a friend, who knows? I don't like it. And at the same time, we have people saving us. And there's great sayings about, beware the man who wants to save the world, he seeks to rule the world. Relations to eugenicism, and also the vaccine to save your lives, wants to save lives, but thinks the world's overpopulated. There's too many contradictions that are exceedingly awkward in all of this. So I think just staying alive will be quite an outcome. I won't necessarily be a bundle of joy. Staying alive will be a good outcome, and doing so with some resources and wealth will be an exceptional outcome, and that's our goal.
Yes, I can see you can take care of the latter bit. I think it's going to be harder for you to give people advice on, because it's ultimately going to be a matter of luck, isn't it? What jurisdiction you're in, what kind of craziness breaks out, how long it's going to last. I mean, okay, so Weimar, how long did Weimar last, for example? And Weimar didn't end well either, did it? We then moved into Nazi Germany. So, I mean, how long is the bad period going to be?
There's so many different ways of looking at that. There's people that'll look at it biblically and say, well, there's the 7 years. There's people that'll look, I've looked at this from every possible angle. There's others that say, as long as is needed to get the outcome, that problem, reaction, solution requires to implement the new solution. So we've created the problem and we're in the throes of the problem unraveling as designed, because essentially we planted a landmine and stepped on it. And now we've got to experience the detonation and the limbs being ripped off to then justify the medic that shows up and stitches you up anew, but only differently. And that is, in essence, the gameplay that we are in right now. And it is, we are deeper into the financial reset than I would possibly think most people realize. I'm seeing the debt markets. Debt is the bubble, by the way. Many people get this incorrect. There'll be some people are varying financial literacy watching. The bubble isn't Bitcoin. It isn't gold. It isn't silver. It isn't even the American stock market at super stretched PEs, although many will be going, really? I know. The bubble is debt. If you take the amount of money proliferated and you adjust down the NASDAQ index by the proliferation of fiat that has gone on, actually it's not at extreme valuations to the quantity of fiat that has been created.
Right. Yes.
So this is where you need to do some charting. We chartists. So we take the NASDAQ, you divide it by the M2 money supply of how much money they played in the system. In actual fact, it can go higher amazingly. This is why people will be calling, I call this the great long. I've got a devious sense of humor. I call it, sometimes I'm tempted to say the long schlong, but actually it's a case of everything should be bought. You should be net long. This is the big long, because at the end of it, you're probably going to get a reaming. That's if you aren't. So that's why I do a bit of phraseology wordplay there. But the point is, assets will go up, property, commodities are going up. We've seen coffee, copper, these are agris going up. We've become more efficient at farming, much bigger scaled farming. In America, they're huge. 65,000 hectares is a small farm. Now people run 120. Funny enough, on that note, Bill Gates seems to have bought up a lot of farmland. So that's a reset sniper comment. Why? But anyway, the point is, So there's been a downward pressure generally. There's been a deflationary pressure on things like foodstuffs, but yet we're still seeing prices going up. So this shows you how relatively the fiat money is being proliferated. We hide the inflation. The true inflation rate is being hidden. This is one of the greatest lies the central bankers get away. We can't seem to create inflation. They've created huge inflation. Inflation starts first in asset classes. And that's where you can look at that stock market and say, really, Apple's gone from 800 billion, is barely selling any more phones. It's hardly done much more and is now 2.1 trillion. Well, that's your inflation. Money is chasing in. Who gets all the cheap money? First, it's at the top. It's like that champagne castle where the first glass is filled at the top. You're one of the glasses at the bottom. That's why you ain't seeing any champagne. It's filling up the top glass and the rows beneath it. You ain't seeing it. But believe you me, it's been poured because you're on one of the biggest champagne fountains that have ever been created in life. There's so many layers to it, but they're filling up the top, and you know, the politicians are barely junior middle management in the scam. So they are sitting, you know, seven rows down, and you're row number 98 on the very bottom of this, and there's a billion and a couple of billion of us. So that's why you aren't seeing the champagne. But those people don't need to worry about bread. They have all the bread they need and all the liters of milk they need. So they're not going to push the prices up on milk and bread, are they? No. They're eating as well as anybody. They're going to invest. So they are net investors, and you get asset inflation first. So that's why the stock market is run. That's why you have Bitcoin going up as an alternative to fiat currency, because fiat's going down. That's why recently you had a great gold run up from 1300 to 2000. It has corrected a bit now. I expect further to the upside. But so first you get asset inflation. Then you start to see commodities moving, and you start to see concerns in the debt markets. Both of those things are happening right now. So your coffee price at source is going up. Your copper price is going up. Your palladium is going up, which is in all your EV vehicles, catalytic converters. Your rhodium has gone up about 60 times in a space of 18 months. All of these things are going up. Rare earth minerals, things for batteries, lithium, they're all actually going up in price. So what starts to eventually happen is you're going to start to see those prices now at the till. And that's when people think inflation has occurred. Inflation is currency proliferation. Simple. The minute they start doing it, it's inflationary. You notice it when the price of your loaf of bread and milk goes up. And that's coming. So cattle, live cattle, pork bellies, the lot. If you're watching markets like I am, there is a sea swell going upwards. Oil is now, we've called for triple digit oil, having called for single digit in where there's some crisis coming. So this, just to recap that call that we made, that was short oil. So we're known for the euro, Swiss franc twice. That was actually the collapse of the Eurozone, the Greek crisis in 2009. We saw it in the currency markets. People were dumping euro for the franc. And we saw what we thought was central bank intervention, holding a level, and then a skid, holding a level. And then they threatened to intervene as if they weren't already, to try to spike the currency. So they started drawing it. We ended up getting a capitulation from 1.5 to 1 at its very lowest point on the euro Swiss franc. Now in the oil, we said from the stage in Acapulco, and that clip's available if you'd like it, that oil will trade single digits. And that was a technical setup in a macro falling wedge and what we call the inverted Hunt volatility funnel, which our guys do, major capitulation. And that was in 2019. Some event is coming. That's all we knew. We effectively called the COVID scam. Some event is coming that's crashing the oil price. And the irony was we were short pipelines in oil. We were short tallow oil, but we were also short Carnival. Now, Carnival is a cruise liner, and a cruise liner should benefit from cheaper prices on oil. So why? And I sat here and I said, what is it that's happening that's killing cruise lines and oil at the same time, when cruise lines should be benefiting from one of their major input costs dropping to all-time lows for the last 30 years that we haven't seen since? And that event occurred. And of course, it was COVID. It was closed down. It was a pandemic.
You mean that the Carnival, the fall in the Carnival share price preceded the COVID thing?
Correct. So technically we were observing an event that we expected to happen in the markets that saw us aggressively short oil. how did that technical footprint get lain in advance if this was a natural event? It was in the charts for us. Technically, people were divesting. Well, let me tell you, insiders were shuffling through the door, and the rest were being told to keep it up. There was even, and you may not know this, Aramco is a Saudi. The Saudis decided to get the single biggest listing ever, which was basically all the Saudi Arabian oil assets in one place. And they suddenly became super benevolent. They wanted to share the wealth with the citizens. Now, I don't know if you know the Saudi government the way we do, the beheading variety that won't let women drive and all of that. Apparently, that's all going to change. But the benevolence isn't the phrase that springs to mind when I'm thinking of them. So I was thinking, well, why are they doing this? They basically used their own citizenry as bag holders. It was almost like BT. You might remember the privatization in the UK. I expect you have a substantial UK audience, the privatization of BT and British Gas and all of these things. Yeah. It was the equivalent of that, only one mega company in oil.
Yeah.
And we said, this is a patsy stuffing. It's going to dip. They're unloading their own wealth, getting liquid, and passing this on to their citizenry. So they've ridden the escalator up, and they're handing the ticket to the escalator down to other people to take the punch for them. They've probably been buying it up. So all these events were coinciding. So I come with my reset sniper, knowing who the Saudis are, their relationship with America, the petrodollar, and their relationship with Israel, which is not as frenemy. It's far more friend than enemy. In fact, they're related at the top. So I'm going, why is this all happening? So it was a fascinating trade to have put on. And it was essentially, we call HVF method the news before the news, because actually you put on a trade and you find the reason after. By the time you're reading it in the newspaper, I'm sorry, it's too late. that's the post-mortem you're just getting. It's happened. It's too late to respond to now. Now, the news story is that's going back up. So they would have had a bag holder to take it down. Then they would have been probably buying at the bottom, back their own asset on the cheap. So oil is going triple digits again in our view. And this is part of an overall inflationary. And don't forget, demand has been brought right back. We've passed peak demand. Our access to freedom of movement is greatly being curtailed. We never hit peak supply, we've hit peak demand. And I think it's going to be a lot harder to move around. I think the vaccines, passports, and all of those aspects are going to be coming around. And it's in the same way that 9/11 triggered an immense travel inconvenience on the everyday man. You now have a new ratcheting up of the bottlenecks on your movement. So we're having squeeze points introduced all along that are entrapment areas. In a sense, it just becomes a lot harder to transition from one zone into another.
Yeah.
And you would have to comply to many, many things of a chip and track nature to actually get that freedom.
So how is one going to, I suppose money is going to help in that regard. If you want to retain a semblance of mobility like we enjoyed in the old normal, which I miss greatly, money is going to be key, isn't it?
Well, John Kerry in his private jet going to the World Health Organization to collect an award and preach everyone about green. He certainly didn't get vaccinated. I don't think he was hustled, and I doubt he was wearing a mask on the plane, if we ever were so lucky as to get internal pictures of that event. So when you're at the Uber class top, the oligarchy, I think it's a whole new world of convenience. Apart from when you make public appearances and you're maintaining the ruse, then you'll have triple masks on and who knows, visors and everything. But otherwise, these guys live a very comfortable life. I doubt they've been inconvenienced in any great deal behind the scenes. But they put up with a little bit of inconvenience because they know this is part and parcel to herding all the sheep into the field closer to the abattoir. They know they're one of the few with a golden ticket that will get out the other side, that aren't passing through the abattoir. So what little effect it does have on their lives, I think they're well informed as to why and the purpose there too. So you need to become almost insider class without being a perpetuator of this almost certainly eugenic genocidal march that is being brought upon us. And it is very dark in that.
You're not going to take an mRNA altering experimental substance. Neither am I. Neither, I would say, is probably 99% of the people listening to this podcast. But I cannot see freedom of movement ending altogether. I mean, I think there's going to be ways around these vaccine passports. If there isn't, then
well, look, we should look. These are dishonest people. You should do anything you can to maintain some degree of quality of life against these them and their agenda. I'm actually just looking for a support document that's really interesting while I'm talking on this very, very topic. So I see this as a deception that's being perpetuated against us in my worldview.
I agree.
So, I mean, if I could purchase a fraudulent certificate, I would. But the problem is, if we all go along with the story, they get to continue to tighten their grip. And eventually there'll be authentication that'll be a very high standard. If you did have a bent doctor who was sympathetic, there would be big, bounties offered for anybody who is cheating, like they do for, you know, the NHS fraudulent claiming of dole. And you would find circumstances where they will slowly squeeze and capture all the bottlenecks where people might be leaking out. It's going to be a problem. I think we should resist. We need to be more vocal now, because the problem, if you're fragmented and everybody goes underground in their resistance, they are winning and getting their role, and they will have the law, the bent law, with their own judges implementing that law. And you have to have an upfront on the surface battle, as well as a below the surface battle. If everybody just goes, yeah, we'll let them have the above the surface and we'll cheat like hell and black market everything, and they get no resistance, they get to dominate the moral cause and be the ones saying they're law abiding and they're just implementing the rules. So unfortunately, too many people are wanting to run, and not enough of us are fighting. But it's also a difficult fight to fight, because it's not rewarding just to go stand in, the Trafalgar Square in the rain and get hustled by police. There's an interesting thing about the 10 stages of genocide that I watch, and I'll just give you this one as a pointer, because I think we're going to be isolated. We're going to be targeted by media for being anti-vaxxers, or pro-immune system, as I kind of like to refer to it, because vaccines are very damaging to your immune system, stuffed with heavy metals and all sorts of things. But anyway, they'll call us anti-vaxxers.
Of course, by the way, but yeah.
Yes, and there's another generation, which are DNA modification, as you correctly point out. And in actual fact, if you were ever in a cell with a gun held to your head and you had to take one, I think the Russian one is the one that still emulates much like a legacy vaccine rather than the other. So that would be the one I'd probably take. But we said when the lockdown came, this will not be the only lockdown. They are breaking you in. This is about control. There will be multiple lockdowns. This is now a year ago. When this did, I streamed from South Africa. I was in a nice luxury resort. This is all coming out, stood by the pool, did a YouTube. Guys, this is going to be repeat. They will come back at winter again, only they'll come back earlier, because initially it came the tail end of winter. It was February, March. It all started in 20. I said that this means they'll be able to keep it warm over summer, and then they're going to bring it on early in winter. You'll then have a full winter. You're going to have a Christmas and a New Year with various degrees of lockdown. You aren't going to see family and friends. This is a breaking in process of control. It's about your freedom of movement. Just going back to the 10 stages of, and I said also, you won't get, it's also about the vaccine. And once they got you once on a vaccine, they will create cause or ruses whereby they will be updating you. So this whole notion of an operating system, that Gates was Windows in essence, you have an antivirus that's updated regularly. So once you say yes, it's kind of like virginity. Once you've said yes to it once, it's a whole bunch easier second, third, and fourth time. And in this instance, they just need to get the thin edge of that wedge in, and then they own a highway, your physical autonomy, your power and your autonomy over what goes in your body. That's your mouth, that's through your skin, is now taken away from you. Your right to say no is taken away from you. You've opened up a highway into your veins, into your muscles, that these people can introduce a various degree of options. And they could do stage one, stage two, which when combined later will have an effect. There could be chipping. There's any amount, and we can speculate till kingdom come of what will be going on in there. But just the modification, the fetal tissue mass to fool your system. This is a very unnatural defense disarming approach. And I'm not for one second interested in entertaining it in any way. And the more people we help get say no, the harder that we make the pill for them to swallow. The problem is the volume of people that are acceding to government wishes and rushing off. We have families saying, well, you can't see the grandkids to the elderly because, you know, you might make them sick and all of that. Kids don't get this thing generally. It's not a problem. Grandpa ain't going to kill your kids and he ain't going to kill you. Don't force him to get a vaccine. He's the most at-risk person. You will be harvesting souls of the elderly. We have a pension crisis. Isn't it interesting that we have a set of circumstances? The Israeli facts that came out, because they've gone big early and they've penetrated the large part of their population. There's a document from an institute. 40 times the death then that have been attributed to COVID have been caused by the vaccines now. And they're on the Pfizer vaccine, but it doesn't matter. You've seen what's gone on with AstraZeneca. 40x the number of people that are alleged to have died of COVID registered in Israel since the vaccine, 40 times have died of that age group category that was deemed elderly. And I can't tell you which range it was, but it probably 65 to 85, I don't know.
This is going to depress my dad.
That is a harvester.
Look, my parents are just fairly typical of what's happening and the way that it's creating these divisions. So my dad didn't want to take the vaccine, really didn't. He's where we are. He's reasonably red-pilled on everything. And yet, peer group pressure. You know, people have been giving olders a really hard time. If their friends won't talk to them. They worry about, they think things like, well, okay, I've maybe got 5 more years left. I want to be able to go on my holiday to Tenerife or whatever. So there's that. There's also, in my mum's case, my mum is much less kind of red pill. You know, she's living in the old world. She gets bombarded with BBC propaganda, with, you know, it's, you can't blame them for something which is really being imposed on them without their having an ability to make an independent decision. And I feel sorry for, you know, well, sorry for all those people listening to this who've had the vaccine. Must stop calling it a vaccine, who are thinking, oh my God, what do I do? I mean, it's tough, isn't it?
It's psychological warfare. It's not just tough, it's psychological warfare. It's threat of isolation. It's threat of what they used to call excommunication from your society on a basis that you have unpopular views. I mean, going back to those 10 stages of genocide, first classification, people are divided into us and them. We're already there. You're pro-vax or you're anti-vax. Done. Stage one. Stage two, symbolization. People are forced to identify themselves. Passports. You may as well put the Jordan gold star suit. It'll be that physical. Discrimination. People begin to face systemic discrimination. I saw Cohen writing in The Guardian saying it's the time is coming where those that are vaxxed are going to have enough with the non-vax society. He's leading and seeding in the mind. These are the people you can get impatient with that are boring, slow, non-science people. So the discrimination is already there. That's stage three. Stage four, dehumanization. People equated with animals, vermin, or diseases. So that's going to start. You'll watch the media coverage start to say, listen, there's so much patient we have to have with these dullards. You're either a human being or you're a dumbass rock or a dumb beast. You know, you move with the times, you save everybody else, or you get put out of your misery. They'll start talking like that. They'll start having that. That's dehumanization is coming. Five, the organization, the government creates special groups to enforce policies. see the classroom, see kids that are not wearing masks being put in different, lesser environments that will be the room, the bad room with the bad view, you know, in terms of that. Preparation, official action to remove and relocate people begins. That is stage 7. We're in a polarization state now. The government broadcast propaganda to turn the populace against the group. Bernays came out of England, the master of propaganda. Buy the book, read the book. They manipulate everything you see coming out of BBC and radio. Repetition, repetition, repetition. It will win out in the end. Your friends will learn to hate you. People are saying on Facebook, I've sacked friends. The division is coming. This is divide and conquer, the isolation, the polarization, it is coming. And the preparation, people are talking of FEMA camps in the States. There will be other various places where they will be going on. Next, stage 8, persecution, beginning of beatings, physical attacks, murders, theft of property, or even trial, kangaroo courts. 9, extermination. That's where you're put there and you're lower than life and they see you off. That's extermination. And the final stage is denial. The government denies any form of crime. They had it coming. They were a threat to the rest of us. You know, it's survive or thrive or die. And they died by choice of their own, you know. So it's kind of justification for isolating. This is a dark, this is the 10 stages of genocide. You know, I can give you this thing. Yeah. I can identify where we're at. These are processes. You've been put in a grid. We're being processed through stages right here and right now. And they are going to lean on your will. And you will see people that you thought were strong wilt and accede because they can't take the pressure. Because every day you wake up to the same pressure, only more. Every day you wake up to the same. And some of those people listening to this will think, damn, maybe I should cross over now. No, you shouldn't, because you're taking a life or death decision. Your life won't be the same. Your life won't be the same once they get in you. You know, there's people that have discussed even the spirit gene that goes through the pineal gland. These the interaction with the DNA is almost going to leave you a euthanized, happy-pilled, propertyless robot clone, much like the World Economic Forum of, I'm so happy and I own nothing. You know, my possessions don't dictate to me. Well, good luck. The other half of that story is someone's taken all your stuff. Who they and who got to decide? And where's all your stuff and what have they done with it?
Francis, I think we've depressed people enough. We need now to give people a glimmer of hope. And I think one of them is, okay, can I ask you a question about cryptos? So I've, my sort of crypto friends are divided on Bitcoin and Ethereum versus Ripple, XRP, and they describe Bitcoin as the cabal coin, the kind of the bad guys kind of own it, and that XRP is somehow the white hat coin. Do you have a view on that at all?
So this is classic tribalism or monotheism. So what you get is fragmentation. We have a new technology called cryptography. I think you might have been referring the other way around. Most people that I hear talk about Bitcoin as the first and the original and XRP as the banker coin. But the notion that any of them are free and that you should be an avowed believer. So people become believers in things. Mm-hmm. Marry your girlfriend, make her your wife. Don't marry your tokens. There was a 1996 NSA document, which was pretty much a precursor for the Bitcoin white paper. You're probably going where they want you to be. If I need to move a lot of libertarian, independent thinking people away from central banking cartel money, I got to win the libertarians over first. I say, hey, there's this new thing that isn't government. It isn't central bank controlled. And you create and you control the opposition. The blockchain is not private. This notion that people are buying AK-47s and all of this, all the dark, they were doing that in cash for millennium, mm-hmm. In gold coins, silver coins, and nowadays in cash. HSBC was caught laundering an entire Mexican fast and furious drug cartel through the banking system with cash. You didn't need crypto to be a gangster mm-hmm. and to launder money. So first of all, the blockchain saves everything. It saves everything. It's open source banking. Why would you want that? Unless you're in a privacy coin like Monero and other privacy coins, where actually, so the blockchain is like, I give you a £50 note and I wrote, Francis gives it to James for the purpose of buying mushrooms or cocaine. And that stays on that note. You pass that note to the vegetable store man. And he says, well, there's been some dark activities on this. I don't actually want that. That's fungibility. If I took a hit out and paid someone on the dark web to murder somebody, that actually would be effectively captured as the transaction. Maybe not what the eventuality was, but whatever invoices, it's kept, it's stored. So you actually have the trade and the history of everything. Cash is fungible because someone might have done something very innocuously evil with it, and it can come to me and I can do something good with it. In other words, money itself is not the point of evil or the goodness in something. But blockchain will store it all. Just store it all. So how's it secretive? It's not secretive. You can go see, you can track the wallets. People know where all the big wallets are, and they see when big wallets are moving Bitcoin between each other. And they say, whoops, that's going to be a selling signal. Someone's just moved X amount from a wallet into an exchange. He's probably, you know, going to dump it. So it's open source banking. And then these guys have AI and quantum computing and a blockchain storing every banking element. How on earth is that not serving the government? This is their dream. And then they have the newspaper and the BBC and the Bloomberg and all of that saying, yes, nefarious deeds on Bitcoin, buying drugs. They want you in there. They want you thinking, yeah, I'm being edgy and I'm getting a little bit of safety and security for doing what I do. So they control the opposition. They make it sound like it's something evil. You get Lagarde and the Yellen saying it's inefficient because of the heating and that it creates. Banking is inefficient. Banking is inefficient. Banking takes 3 days to move one money from one place to another. This is instantaneous. The power that banks consume in everything they do, lights, buildings, everything is way more than mining. But so there's a lot of FUD and misinformation on that.
Are you saying, Francis, that all the kind of negative publicity I read in the newspapers about Bitcoin and also the rumors about how they're going to close it down and make it illegal and stuff, is this all basically the marketing strategy designed to get sort of edgy people like you and me on board with the program? Is that right?
They already have the edgiest people on board. They've created something which is moving up more than anything in the stock market, with the possible exception of Tesla. So people want to make money. They only live for the moment, and we want to make money. We're not concerned about our freedoms. We make the money and we hope for the best with who the real orchestrators of the great game are. But the truth of the matter is none of it, but being, it's designed to kill cash in the long run, and it will. And right. It's designed to have many flavors of crypto, and some will tell you that that's the government one and that's this blockchain, which it runs on, is in essence a lifetime ledger of all transactions. Right. If you wish to do your banking online open source for everyone to see, go ahead and do that. Everything that gets paid, and they can inquire, they can raise queries. Who knows, in 4 or 5 years' time, the auditor and the receiver will have blockchain analysts, and they'll be saying, you received X Bitcoin on such a date. What was that for? We don't remember seeing something on your tax return for any income. Was it proof that it was a gift, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's permanent ledger. So people shouldn't evangelize about it. Okay, evangelize maybe about a privacy coin. Well, they're going to have a good go at hacking that, and they might not go up as much at the moment. They want everybody to chase in. The early adopters, they're taking you through the normal curve, early adoption, and that's what's bringing people in, and you're making money doing it. But you're giving away your freedoms. Trust me, in all of this, everything that's going on right now, they will never let you have your own money. You should assume they control it. And if they didn't start by controlling it, they have the mechanism to end controlling it. In other words, retail guys that are trading with leverage are stumping up all their Bitcoin, and it's being acquired and held by institutions. So there's a number of many ways that the cat gets skinned. I don't know which one, probably a combination of both. But the point is, you have not escaped government because you're in crypto. Make money out of it, fine. Don't marry it. All the guys that drop everything else and get into crypto. Klaus Schwab is talking about hacks. The Bitcoin, many people don't realize, Bitcoin's had two inflation bugs. That means someone could go in there through a doorway and increase the number of Bitcoin. You could type up another 21 million. A Bitcoin Cash developer found it and reported it. He was a white hat, thankfully to them, and they had to fix it. And that's happened twice before. How many gateways do you think the intelligence service has done that? If they want to zeroize that, they want to get us all creating wealth in Bitcoin and then zeroize it as part of the great leveling of the middle class, you should have physical silver and gold as well. And it's not moving and it's harder to buy because it's the wrong trade, wrong trade, wrong trade, wrong trade, suddenly the very right trade. And that requires patience and insight. You've got to have a mix. And this is the key element about wealth building for reset times. Everything you know no longer applies because it's kind of like playing cricket in the sun versus suddenly having to play it on a mud pitch in the pouring typhoon. The circumstances are absolutely different. You've never been prepared for this. This is a once in a lifetime event. Many lifetimes have occurred that never experienced this way, this event. This is going to be economic case history for millennia. What is going down, it is all encompassing and global. There will never be a reset on this scale before. There's never been. It is vast. You do not even know what you don't know right now. And you have to prepare and you have to be diverse. Otherwise, you're going to be cleaned out. They want you out of your property. They might have interest rate spikes. All sorts of debt could become exceedingly expensive. The banks will be renting you back your own home. You'll be made a tenant in your own home. It's usury extraction, it's rental extraction, and it's drug peddling. These are the same things that the same kind of people were doing in the Sassoon family, in the opium wars in China. And it's basically what we call pharma today is drug, chemical drug peddling. Usury extraction is banking, and they were doing it back then. And I can tell you, the likes of jewelry as well falls into that. Diamonds aren't rare. Don't buy diamonds. You want precious metals, you want crypto, and you want tangible assets, but you want it without the debt, unless you're a banker and you get to borrow for 0.1% because debt will be devalued. But most people are paying a different level of interest rate on that. And credit cards, some people are still charged 16.9% and 30% on credit card debts. That's how you don't have the same access to cheap funding as they do. And don't let them put you on the wrong side of a compound interest equation. And that's what they've done. That's what they do to everyone. It's your treadmill to poverty. So you've got to be asset rich in the time of inflation. And we are going to face hyperinflation. People get stuck and hung up on the deflation versus inflation. When the fear moments happen, yes, there will be deflation. If you're a long-term holder without leverage of real assets, the proliferation of fiat only means long run one thing, inflation.
Okay.
Yes, you will have dips of deflation, but that's the game. So you've got to hold things that are tangible of value that they can't print. They can't print a gold bar. They can't print a plot of land that produces fruit, vegetables and things. Self-reliance. It's so important. This is reset times.
Yeah. I get that. I suppose the one thing that would be good in a period of hyperinflation would be if you could have a fixed rate mortgage at a much at a low interest rate, relatively low interest rate.
That's what I do say, but let me just warn you of a couple of things. The banks have terminator, sundowner type clauses that in exceptional circumstances and force majeure and everything else for weaseling out. You are dealing with weasels. You are dealing with deceivers. You must know thy enemy. You are dealing in a game of deception, many, many multiple layers of deception, most of which you've yet to fathom. So a fixed is better than a variable. You may get longer protection. Do not doubt that they might try something of a legal nature. The best thing is make sure you have no debt. For those that already have mortgages and they're pretty high, get it fixed and have a lawyer look at all the clauses and say, what circumstances could these guys trigger? It was very interesting to see the terms to declare the whole thing a pandemic, how the criteria was stipulated and then the World Health Organization then declared it a pandemic. There will be a similar phraseology of some form of force majeure to get out of even the fixed rate. Maybe you'll get a couple more years of protection or months, who knows. I'm saying to you, we're going to see times, the problem for the solution they aim to bring needs to be huge for the reaction that it's going to cause. And I'm afraid it's going to be a polarization of wealth. Most people are not equipped for what's coming at them. be a wealthy slave at least, because you'll be able to buy options. You'll be able to buy yourself opportunities and options and maybe some useful things on the black market, because black market prices are going to exceed real prices. I even predict once a lot of people chase into silver and gold, they might go back to making it illegal. It'll become contraband eventually to own petrol. You want to own everything they don't want you to own. It shows up the proliferation game. The canary in the gold mine still is, and it's proven for 3,000 years, silver and gold. So we don't only marry and get too excited about Bitcoin. We trade it, we make money, we hold it. But I look at it as if it could be zeroized at any point. And well, I make sure I have physical things that I can touch.
Can Bitcoin be zeroized at any point?
I don't think easily. And I think they need it to succeed. So that's not a prediction. But I think you've got to always think the unthinkable. All many outcomes are possible. You could be forced to present all your Bitcoin and swap it for a central bank issued coin. They might not tolerate any other alternative. So if you're in Britain, you will get the British central bank decentralized token of choice called the whatever it will be, the Queen Elizabeth. And you'll take your Bitcoin over and you'll be issued a certain amount of Queen Elizabeth, and you'll be forced to remit it, and they'll make it no longer able, and they'll taper it out. Who knows what could happen? You think when we're talking about the future, anybody who tells you they absolutely know is probably blagging or doesn't know his own incompetence. What I want to be is as prepared for as many possible eventualities and possibilities as can exist, and not overly relying on any one single one. So many people have absolutely married Bitcoin. Have absolutely married crypto entirely, that they have nothing else. They brag about having 99% of their wealth in crypto. Okay, good luck. You better watch that basket really well. I would survive if crypto was zeroized, because I've got other things, and I've got other things that will do, in my point, very well. If all other things don't do well, my entire assessment is wrong. When you print money, you destroy currency. It goes up. Copper's gone up, every metal's gone up. So silver will be a bad trade until it's suddenly a brilliant trade. And that could hockey stick. I'm very suspicious about the COMEX. I know from buying physical, not ETFs, with legalese that reserve the right to settle in cash, physical, you've got to take it out of the system, that the guys have had supply problems. They're having supply problems, yet the price is managed at that price point. And what you pay in euros and pounds to get an ounce is nowhere, it's significantly more expensive, assuming you're smart enough to get around the VATs, which we are, than is the price on the COMEX. You know, you're talking about something that's $26. For 20, what would that be in pounds? 22 pounds, an ounce of a coin, and have it delivered to your door. You can't do it. And then there's the VAT, which most people get tripped up on. So, I mean, there's already a two-tier market, you know, the paper market, and then what it costs to actually get something. That just broadens. It already exists. It's forking already.
And what is the, when the Great Reset happens, what will happen to, okay, so they're going to abolish fiat currency. What's going to happen exactly? How does it work out?
I'm expecting central bank issued tokens, which will function and run on blockchain or a faster, better version thereof, amended, depending how much time elapses. I'm expecting UBI as our pensions are all broken, basically, because they've all heavily invested in government debt, which I suspect will be exceedingly poor performer if it's not zeroized, or if we don't have a debt jubilee. So you might have debt jubilee or zeroized. To all the British that are viewers, and anybody else for that matter, you probably have a pension and it's probably reamed to the hilt with government debt. You need to get control over that and exit it. You have self-invested personal pensions in the UK.
Yeah.
You can then purchase other assets like equities, which will actually hold some value in an inflationary environment. They'll go up, but the question is, will they go up the amount that the currency is paying? If you choose them well, they will go relatively up, as well as holding value go up. And as a purpose, that will serve you a lot better. You don't want to be holding government debt. So as debt fails, pensions fail, as pensions fail, they say the whole financial system. So we'll have the social revolution, a financial revolution. So much will be going on and being implemented simultaneously. Everyone will be confused. It'll be like Rumsfeld's shock and awe on the Iraqis. It's just bombs blowing up everywhere. So this is a huge problem. And then no one will be able to analyze clearly. And the narrative will be moving very fast so that you don't get to look back. You know, you don't get to look back at the Twin Towers and say, how did all of that building disappear into dust? You're only asking that question 10 years later when you've had some time to think. So in the same way, this is going to be such a rolling narrative that most of it will be done by the time you realize all that has been put on you in terms of the straitjackets that will bind. So you've got to be prepared before. Otherwise, you're just going to be bedazzled and baffled by just a rolling narrative, which will be too fast for you to realize all the multitude of deceptions that will be perpetuated against you. So this truly requires preparation. This truly requires modeling, scenario modeling cost, thinking how they do, reading your history and knowing what they've done in previous events, and then setting about to have the perfect plan. And the perfect plan is a home with a fair amount of land, staying away from urban areas, staying away from highly, heavily policed areas. The police is now the enemy. The police is weapon of state. If you're a cop and you're watching this, you need to think like a libertarian. You're paid by the citizens. How badly you can't take the Nuremberg cause. If there's ever a truth and reconciliation call, you can't just say, I was following orders. If it isn't right, you don't do it. But most people will just do what they're told. Why? Because it's their job and they get paid. So they'll continue to do what they do. And for a while, it'll work. And if the people win that are orchestrating the scam, as many people will expect them to, the police will face no censure, just like the Israeli Defense Force faces no censure for what they do to Palestinians. So the whole concept is you need remoteness, you need land, you want self-sufficiency, you want self-sufficiency power, you want to collect your own water, you want to collect your own grid. If you have a need for internet, you almost need a bunker internet room with a VPN and a variety of security techniques, and you switch it off and you unplug it. And you use it only when you need it, and then you live off grid. It's time to go back to basics. You've got to grow your own food. You probably want chickens. You want to have a friend who has chickens. If you don't, then you get fresh eggs. You want community. It's time to get local again. You've got to know your own farmer, support your own farmer. Screw these oligarchs, these supermarkets that have squeezed the supply chain. There's going to be supply chain system downs. You're going to go through what the communists went through, the Russians that had the Bolsheviks exert over them. You'll have a black market where the real price will happen. They're going to bring in price controls in the name of saving the people on the supply shortages that they themselves will have controlled. And of course, black markets will own. They'll probably be running the black markets as well, whilst policing them and closing them down. You'll be forced to pay much more for things. There's real, real, real revolution being planned. And then they'll fix this whole mess and we'll have this whole new thing that they've already pre-packed and is ready to go. And is shrink wrapped in plastic, and they just need to pull the ribbon and open your Christmas present, and there it is. There's your pile of turd, new world system for you to wallow in like a pig. And I'm saying to you, you better be very, very aware of what's coming. And the best way is preparation, modeling, and doing some of the things that I'm suggesting. And our community is dedicated to that: trading, building wealth, getting all the equipment. Radio will be your friend. Get off the broadband, get the dumb phones. All sorts of things. There's too much to discuss in a single hour. There is, it is serious that the extent people, we haven't lived through a war. This is the boomers have lived a privileged existence, and the follow-up generation have lived a privileged existence. We've never lived through a world war. Mm. We've never seen. My mother walked the streets to get begging for food from neighbors when the house was bombed. And she was just a 9-year-old. She was stopped by a German patrol after a curfew. You know, because she had to go out at night and they had no damn food, and they let her go because she was a kid. You know, this is, you haven't seen anything. Your imagination hasn't began to fathom this is an end of cycle. This is the depression of America for the entire world, with a world war possibly thrown in, but a war that's the overruling classes on the citizens. People still thinking in nation states, China's our enemy, Russia's our enemy. Forget the nation state framing. That's how you're meant to think. That's how they create the boogeyman and the good guy, and then they synthesize and anti-synthesize and get you to go where they want you to go. They did this. You're going to be sold some horseshit throughout Korea, Russia or China hacking all our banks, and that's where all our money's gone, and they did it to you. And now our financial system's busted because of them, and that's awful. And we couldn't have helped it, and we were doing our best, but this new technology allowed them to use a quantum computer that did it. And now we need a new financial system. But don't worry, we remembered how much you owe us. You still owe us that. But all your positive balances somehow got zeroed. It was very malicious. We intend to punish them. We're going to send the army. Don't worry. But in the meantime, now you need UBI, and the government will be provider. It's the end. It's government as provider. It's dependency on state. This is Bolshevik technocratic communism that is being forced on you by an oligarchy of corporations. You have one world retailer in Amazon. How do we allow these monopolies to get so goddamn big? You have Google running Android on your device, running search and owning YouTube, the second biggest search engine, telling you what you can and can't say and censoring you. How the hell did this happen? You have a social media like Facebook that also happens to be Instagram, that also happens to be WhatsApp, that has all your contacts, knows all your networks, whether you showed up with a new name, a new birth certificate. They could see from the people you're interacting that it's you and where you are. They're facially recognizing you. This is surveillance. This is absolute slave nation already. It's time to realize it. It's time to absolutely take your freedom back and recognize you're fighting a monster so big, you should give them less, and you need to prepare more. That's the story. That's where we are, James.
That, Francis, that is the most that is the most black-pilled podcast I've ever done. But I think you're probably right. I think what you say is helpful. By the way, just before we go, where are you? I went through this period where I thought that maybe Donald Trump was going to save us, but I think was that just always just an illusion?
Please understand, every politician that runs are all controlled. The losers controlled, the winners controlled. So Trump, little short history on Trump. People stick to this. We keep waiting for evangelists. We're all in Stockholm syndrome. We're all waiting for a hero to cuddle up to. That's going to be the one that saves us. This is absolute fantasia. Dispel fantasies. They didn't get to where they got because they were working for you. They got to where they got because they were working for the people who put them there. That's why they got where they got, because they're happy to do the duty of the others. Trump is evangelizing for the vaccine, goddammit. Trump ran casinos. Trump was busted. Chase Manhattan Bank, run by David Rockefeller, was chairman at the time, carried him through. His overdraft was never called in. He carried on swanning around in fancy cars with playgirls and bunnies and was allowed to operate through an entire property, savings and loans, crash and recession. Does your bank do that for you, James? No, that was a forepayment for things to happen. Trump got entertainment gig. Suddenly now he's doing The Apprentice. Trump then next gets a whole bunch of fans because he's Mr. Straight Talker for the center right kind of guy. Next thing you know, hey, he's running a game show host, is running for president. Isn't that interesting? What political experience? Oh, no political experience, but never mind. He's a businessman. All his businesses went bankrupt, but he was carried through with the bottomless overdraft. Like when you go to a coffee at the McDonald's in America, you can have as many cups of coffee. This guy had overdraft like that. He was bankrolled. He was bankrolled all the way through everything. And people think he was there to save him. He's just a less despicable avatar than the Clintons were. That's all. It's the only reason why you might have said, if I'm to be jammed by someone, I'd rather it be him. He's never working for you. He didn't get there. Presidents are elected. They are selected, not elected. All the people put on that stage all rely on money. They all sign AIPAC clauses that they'll never do anything that works against Israel. They'll all sign that they're anti-BDS clauses, all forms of things. This isn't freedom. This is a puppet show. This is a masquerade. You've been living a masquerade, thinking anyone that's politically elected will save you. James Corbyn won't save you. Starmer won't save you. Boris was never going to save you. People had hopes for Boris. Boris is a controlled chimp. He's doing very little. He's a buffoon. These people are all lower middle management. The decisions are being made for them. They're selling things. They're all selling vaccines. Every single one of them selling vaccines. Where's the variance of opinion? Where is the variance of opinion if any of them are free thinking? They're not there. They're not there. Tulsi Gabbard absolutely destroyed Kamala Harris, but Kamala Harris ended up vice president and Tulsi Gabbard's gone. She doesn't have a political career. Too much criticism about war and the cost of war and the damage. That's reality. Ron Paul would have been president if truth came through. He kept running. They wanted him to stop. He kept running. He kept getting funded. He was funded by people. Ron Paul is a legit man. He's the few legit people that I've ever heard in American politics in three decades. I don't even think his son will qualify for that tag. He'll be pragmatic and he'll take the money. This is all getting into politics is trying to become part climb the insider cartel's ladder. That means you want to you didn't choose the Freemasonry route, or in some cases you might be both. You didn't choose the cop or the judge route. You're choosing the political route. It's just three sources, three tributaries of the same river. There is nobody working for you. People, it's a war of the ruling class over the people masses, and we lose. And we've got to do something about it, and we've got to take some defenses to at least survive to the other side. We've got to teach our kids the history and how to position. That's the situation. Trump is not your friend. That whole QAnon was an absolute psyop. Absolute psyop. I had to tell everyone, so many Q fans, oh, but Trump's got the indictments. Hillary's going to jail. I said, okay, talk to me in a year's time. Talk to me in 2 years' time. None of those things have gone anywhere. Before he was even elected, Hillary Clinton. What nonsense. I didn't listen to it then and I didn't listen to it now. Nobody there is batting for you. Epstein proves that there is an absolute child molestation, pedophilic class that have all dipped their toe in and probably some other part of their anatomy to varying degrees. They're absolute perverts. They're dangerous. They're vile. They've all got blackmail material on them. And if by the time you're at the top of that table, they have to control you. You've got to have done something that they utterly control you. Otherwise, you don't get the position. And even when you're not doing a good job, little bits leak. That's how they keep reminding you who's boss. And they're all part of that. You've got to realize that the good guys are the minority at the top. They just don't exist. I'm sorry.
Mm. Well, on that cheery note, Francis. By the way,
James, there is a shining star. Let me just finish and let me leave people with something a little bit uplifting.
Oh, do please.
The worst thing you can do is to cling to fantasies. Dispel the fantasies. Take your depression, take your happy pills when you hear what I'm saying and you accept it to be true. Man up, acknowledge it, and take positive action. The minute you start taking, look me in the eyes, I'm looking you right in the eyes. Mm-hmm. Start taking positive action and straight away you feel better. It cures depression. Screw their pharma, don't take their pills, that was a joke. Start taking action. Start planning your places. Start doing research. Recognize that this is a game, this is a huge event, and it's a challenge. But the people that get through this challenge, the opportunity is going to be massive as well. You don't get the turmoil, the revolution without the opportunity also. There's real, real opportunities. I have an amazing business and an amazing community that are buzzing, but they're taking action. They're not sitting passively and they're not slumping into Stockholm syndrome, waiting for the hammer to fall. The minute you take action, you improve your quality of life. You improve the circumstances of your life. Every single one of these things, everybody watching this right now can and should be doing. And I can facilitate that. You can go to themarketsniper.com and you can talk to any of our guys about joining our community. Or you can sit and wallow and cry and read the BBC and get depressed. It's like you've got to exercise, you've got to manage, you've got to work on your mental health. This is the harshest mental challenge you're going to face. And you know what? You attack it. Otherwise, you get crushed. If you play rugby in South Africa, you've got to go in hard with your head down. Otherwise, you get clattered. And I'm sorry, going in expecting to get beaten gets you hurt. It's kind of how it works. Attack, fight, protect your family. Your family won't be able to cope with some of this mentally. Don't depress them like I might be depressing some of you. But once you've gone through the depression and you've accepted the circumstances, you'll realize a lot of things were a lie. You'll understand your history a lot better. A lot of parts of your history. And now you're awake and now you can move. And now you're not playing on a stage and not even realizing it. You actually understand the game. Guess what? You get better at predicting the future. I'm pretty good at it for someone who hasn't been there yet. And I can tell you, I teach techniques where you can do it. It's satisfying. It's gratifying. It's enriching. It's success. It's a better quality of life. And it will buy you plenty of freedoms. So you have your choice now. Slump back into Plato's cave and keep staring at the wall and kill the guy that comes and tells you there's nothing out there to be afraid of. There's freedom. Or be the guy that runs out of the cave and seizes that freedom because it's right here and it's right now. And you can do it. And even a small step, one little thing every day, write a list and write one thing that you will achieve in a day. Straight away, you go into the next day, that one item better. It might be just to make a phone call. It might be just to visit our website and get some information. It may be just to buy a little bit of extra storage space in your existing space to have some handheld radios so that you could comms with your wife. Do you know when we're talking to a large UK audience, do you know the mobile network was taken down on 7/7? How about a handsets each of radio, but what, how long might they take it down when things get weird? Who knows? You could be the only guy in comms. Do you want to look like a leader in times of crisis, or do you want to be one of the 99.9% dashing around in mad panic, chasing toilet rolls in the local Sainsbury and emptying the thing? Be the prepped guy. Be the smart guy. You have a chance. There is time. There's wealth to be built. There's time for preparation. You can start doing it right now. I can help direct you. Other people can too. What are you doing and what are you waiting for? That's my message.
Great. Francis, thank you. And I'm going to advertise your sites in the blurb below this, but also I should say to people, because I'm really bad at this, please support me on my Patreon and my Subscribestar. This is increasingly going to be my source of income. I'm getting the message out there to you all. And you'll find me on Patreon and Subscribestar. You can also go to my website, dellingpoleworld.com, and you can find out how to support me on PayPal. Francis, thank you very much. That's really good.
What I'd happy to do, James, please send all your Twitter handles, your YouTube channel to me. And when you finish editing this, I will certainly also retweet it, share it across all my platforms, encourage my community members, for which we have quite sizable, to follow your channel and to do all the things you mentioned with regards to support. And let's help you grow your channel, and let's help you build wealth, and let's help you keep opening people's eyes. Thank you for what you're doing. We need more voices out there. I need more programs to go rant on like I just did. And we need to get people engaged and activated. Because if you're engaged and activated, listen, even if you lose, but you're engaged and activated and you die like a freaking Viking, then, you know, you've lived. Yeah. To wallow in pity and to shuffle down the road into the abattoir they're taking you is a pitiful end to a pitiful existence. Die like a Viking, live like a Viking. Come and join us. We'll see you on the other side. Thank you for having me.